So today, we have our last Goosebumps book of the season, Go Eat Worms. Today is Goosebumps number 21, Go Eat Worms, which I picked because multiple spots have referenced that R.L. Stine said this is one of his least favorites, or maybe more accurately, that he's not happy with the way this turned out. Welcome to the club. If I had to pick which of my books didn't turn out quite right, I'd be spoiled for choice for the first time in my life. Go Eat Worms follows this creep kid who collects worms, I guess. He's got a big aquarium with a lid that he keeps them in. It seems like an odd thing to collect. It's not like there's a ton of different worms, right? I mean, I'm sure there are. I'm sure some dumbass on the internet is about to tell me that there are thousands of species of worms. I get it, okay? And I guess now that I think about it a little more, I'd collect comic books if I had the money, and if I had the space and the desire to be on eBay all the time. And I'm sure lots of people would look at those and be like, they all look the same to me. And I'd have to be like, that's because you're a fucking idiot with no respect for foil variants. Maybe worm collecting isn't such a bad thing for the worms, at least. I mean, you put them in an aquarium full of dirt. Does the worm even know the difference between being in an aquarium and being in a backyard? I looked up worm facts to find out if I could, you know, discover anything along those lines. There isn't a lot of agreement in the world of worm facts, but it would seem that a bunch of worms in a big aquarium would probably have what they needed to be just fine. Plus, no birds, early or otherwise, to fuck up their day. Anyway, we begin the tale with a science fair, and our hero, Todd, is presenting his worm farm. But then this other kid brings a worm skyscraper, which everyone thinks is super cool. Todd knows he's going to lose, however, he did jam a bunch of worms inside of his sister's science project, an enormous papier-mâché robin, and the science fair judges are pretty unprofessional about it when the bird starts to vomit up live worms. They're all like, ew, gross, even though I'm like, that's pretty much science. Birds do eat worms. I feel like this is the step that takes an arts and crafts project to the level of at least containing some kind of science facts. In a twist suitable for, well, R.L. Stine, some dumbass who made a balloon model of the solar system wins the science fair, defying the odds and beating the various worm-related projects, which are honestly kind of stupid. Here's a big tub of worms. Well, I've got a bigger tub of worms. Can you imagine? An elementary school all gets together and every student is like, let's just all do a tub of worms. They can't fail everyone, right? Todd starts engaging in some worm abuse, toppling the worm skyscraper on accident, which isn't such a heinous act, but then he cuts a worm in half right in front of all the other worms, on purpose, although the two halves wriggle away and Todd is under the impression that the worm will live and become two worms. I read into this as well, and it turns out worms often can regenerate pretty significant portions of their bodies, but you won't get two worms by cutting a worm in half, just one. Probably for the best. I feel like worms are confusing enough without cloning. Did you know worms have both male and female sex organs, but also require a second worm to reproduce? How does that even work? So then worms start showing up in weird places. In Todd's backpack, then his cereal, in his Raiders hat that he wears to school all the time, and probably worst of all, in his PB&J, where he finds half a worm after apparently eating the other half. This is probably the biggest horror of the book, eating half a worm, which is admittedly pretty gross and would probably be quite a memorable moment from elementary school. I'm like 90% sure that I'd notice a worm in a PB&J. Like, as soon as I bit into something with the texture of worm, I'd know. A younger me with more journalistic integrity would try this out for Potoween, maybe as a subscriber-only bonus episode, live worm eating. But I'm older and more confident, so I'll just say that I'm sure that I'd notice and leave it untested. At the risk of losing what little integrity I have, you know what? Eating a worm sandwich isn't worth salvaging my particular level of integrity. There's also a sequence where Todd is tortured by getting into bed and finding it absolutely full of worms, after which he changes his pajamas but turns down a shower. Which, I don't know, I think bed full of worms is kind of a start-over, shower-worthy situation. Even if I had just showered, I'd probably go ahead and get zestfully clean. Maybe just as a way to reset the night, you know? Todd suspects his sister is pulling all these worm-related pranks, but then she's got great alibis that make it seem impossible that she'd be pulling this shit. However, Todd eventually discovers it is, in fact, his sister who is making all these worms pop up, mostly because she wants to force the issue at home so he'll have to get rid of all his worms. Seems to me like it'd be easier to just, I don't know, kill all the worms and not tell Todd. How would he even know? His worm collection is just a thing full of dirt where occasionally you see a worm. Anyway, Todd goes out with his buddy to find a ton of worms in order to get revenge on his sister, and while they're at Todd's favorite worm spot, they feel, for the third time, a rumbling. And then an enormous worm emerges from a crack in the ground, wraps itself around Todd, and starts pulling him, like a Dream Theater song, under. But unlike the Dream Theater song's protagonist, Todd is afraid. Just when Todd is about to be sucked into the abyss by a goddamn enormous worm, his sister comes out of the school carrying her giant paper mache robin, which frightens the worm and sends it scurrying away, sparing Todd. Here's the really weird part. The end of the book shows Todd, and he's moved away from his wormy hobbies and into collecting... I'll give you some guesses. What would you collect if you had an experience where a giant worm tried to kill you, possibly for revenge after you collected worms? Certainly something innocent, right? Stamps? Something? I mean, I guess it's highly unlikely that a giant worm would pop up for any reason, even less likely it would pop up a second time, but I feel like a giant stamp trying to lick you and stick you in an album is even less likely than a giant worm, right? Well, Todd elects to catch butterflies. We get a scene of him killing a butterfly in a jar, pinning it to a board, and being quite satisfied with himself. I mean, I'm not like totally opposed to insect collecting, but it does seem like kind of a dick move, you know? Or something you'd have a serial killer in a movie do, even though it's a little on the nose. If I was attacked by a giant, I guess what I collect is old manuscripts of unfinished stories. So if I was attacked by a giant unfinished manuscript, I don't think I'd switch over to writing screenplays, an even crueler and pretty parallel hobby. I suppose Go Eat Worms works as a story. It's one of those we learn nothing stories, which is a variety I don't really mind. We don't learn something from every experience we go through, not something explicit anyway. And I gather readers aren't big fans of this story, partially because our main character learns nothing, partially because he's kind of a little jerk, which I do notice is a thing in books. There are a lot of readers who don't want to read about little dickheads. I don't mind it, though. I mean, some kids are jerks. Most kids are kind of jerks. They can't help it. They don't know anything. They don't know it's sociopathing to murder butterflies and impale them with pins so you can look at their corpses in your creepy basement while a vinyl record plays at maybe 42 RPM so that old Billie Holiday record takes on a spooky air. And I don't really think Stein dislikes this book because of that. He said in a How to Write book that he likes to write books where the kids don't learn a lesson or whatever. That's a big staple of kids' books, the kids being good people and not total bastards. But he says kids don't have to learn something. They can just read for fun, which I dig as a philosophy. I don't feel like anything I learned from Demolition Man, and yet it's still great. It brings us to the question, why does R.L. Stein dislike this book? I have a few guesses. Go Eat Worms isn't that scary or gross unless you're a worm hater. I don't find worms particularly scary or gross, so there's not much for me until the giant worm attack, which happens about 10 pages from the end. Where some of his other books, you don't necessarily have to be scared of, say, bees to see the horror in Why I'm Afraid of Bees. Maybe it's something to do with the horror setting in Too Little, Too Late and not being all that spooky of a book. It's also kind of weird because Todd is being harassed by worms, but he's not shy about or afraid of worms. So I think that kind of dulls the impact, you know? Maybe if he had a change of heart in terms of starting to see worms as scary, that might give us more of a descent into madness. The kid in Why I'm Afraid of Bees is very afraid of bees. It's definitely something he would not want to be, so that kind of gives us some tension, right? It could be that the problem with this book is that it's just not quite enough of a story. I mean, I wouldn't love being in bed with a handful of worms, but it's not exactly an event that would change how I feel about the universe or whatever. One time an earwig got into my toothbrush, and I didn't realize it until after I brushed my teeth, and that sucked, and I remember it, but it's not like I stopped brushing my teeth for 3 weeks or something. I just, you know, looked at my toothbrush for the next handful of brushings. Maybe it's that the worms never seem like a real threat up until the very end. They're gross and annoying, but it's not on the level of a Bigfoot or something. It's actually kind of funny that way. Worms doing their best to annoy someone really doesn't have a big effect, which does seem appropriate for worms. In my opinion, Go Eat Worms has a bit of a different vibe from some other Goosebumps. It's more comedy, maybe gross out than terror, but having read so many imitators this month, I can definitely say that a bad Goosebump is still better than a good Shivers or whatever. There are 62 original Goosebumps books, and if this is near the bottom, it's a pretty solid run.
Goosebumps. Read or beware, you're in for a scare.